prophecies are coming to pass, but sooner or later, you know, I believe in our lifetime we're going to see it.
Mm-hmm. So that excites me.
sitting on the couch in the front of mine on February of 2009, two times the Lord says, I'm coming back sooner than you think. I'm coming back sooner than you think. And then June of this year, he said to me, I'm coming back soon.
Amen. There's a lot, again, there's a lot of things prophetically, and this messianic movement is very much a prophetic move of God. You know, where God is calling his people to give up their pagan ways, give up the traditions of men, and return back to the truth, the pure truth of his word. Okay? So we're continuing the study of Matityahu, the teachings of our... All right, back to Matthew 7. Hallelujah. That was my son. Yeah. I'll tell you later. This is Yeshua speaking. He said, keep on asking and it will be given you. Keep on seeking and you will find. Keep on knocking reverently and the door will open to you. For everyone who keeps on asking receives, and he who keeps on seeking finds. And to him who keeps on knocking, the door will be opened. Or what man is there of you, if his son asks him for a loaf of bread, will he hand him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he hand him a serpent? If you then, evil as you are, know how to give good and advantageous gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, perfect as he is, give good and advantageous gifts to those who keep on asking him? So again, we got to remember the context of who is Yeshua is talking to. He is talking to Torah observant Jews, okay, who know about prayer. They are his Talmudim. The Sermon on the Mount is a teaching to his disciples, his Talmudim. And we need to weigh every word our master says in the Hebraic context in which he is speaking. Okay, asking, seeking, and knocking is based upon covenant relationship. It's based upon those that have a covenant with God through Yeshua the Messiah. I just want to read a little note from Tim Hegg's study as a Messianic Jew on Matityahu on this section. The three successive imperatives, all in the present tense, are ask, seek, and knock, repeated in the parallel line for emphasis. The present tense of each word emphasizes that there is an ongoing activity of the disciples of Yeshua. Keep on asking, keep on seeking, and keep on knocking. Those who follow him and do his bidding are to be known as those who ask, seek, and knock. Similar metaphors are found in rabbinic literature. One stands at the gates of knowledge, whether of study in Torah or the teachings of the sages, and seeks to enter in, or one approaches the Almighty in prayer and enters into the presence of God. Thus Mordecai the son of Kish indicates that he knocked at the gates of mercy and they were open to him. Just go to James chapter 4, read verses 2 and 3. You are jealous and covet what others have, and your desires go unfulfilled. So you become murderers. To hate is to murder as far as your hearts are concerned. You burn with envy and anger and are not able to obtain the gratification, the contentment, and the happiness that you seek. So you fight and war. You do not have because you do not ask. Or you do ask God and yet fail to receive because you ask with wrong purpose and evil, selfish motives. Your intention is, when you get what you desire, to spend it in sensual pleasures. You are like unfaithful wives having illicit love affairs with the world and breaking your marriage vow to God. Do you not know that being the world's friend is being God's enemy? So whoever chooses to be a friend of the world takes his stand as the enemy of God. The asking, seeking, and knocking our master describes as anyone who earnestly wants to come before the king with requests that honor and bring him glory. God's not going to answer prayers that are motivated by selfishness and that aren't going to bring him glory. Again, he says it will be given and it will be open. When we come to God in prayer, we do so without a sense that we somehow have obligated him to meet our requests. We come recognizing that whatever we have and whatever we may receive is a gift of his grace and the outworking of his mercy. One may be truly an industrious man and yet poor in temporal things, but one cannot be truly a praying man and yet be poor in spiritual things. I know, you know, some of the teachings that, you know, you've heard, you know, from the pulpit is about, you know, commanding God and, you know, telling him what to do. You don't come to God in that kind of an attitude. God isn't at our beck and call and our servant. He answers our prayers because he loves us. He answers our prayers based upon his will for our life, okay? I just want to give you a Hebrew understanding. This is from a prayer siddur, and where they're talking about prayer and sacrifice and prayer and faith. Just want to find the section I was reading on. Let's see.
It's kind of cold in here, so I turned it down.
Okay. This is what I want, yeah. And this is just a little teaching on Is Prayer Answered? And it's by actually a rabbi out of London. He says, Is Prayer Answered? If God is changeless, how can we change him by what we say? Even discounting this, why do we need to articulate our requests? Surely God, who sees the heart, knows our wishes even before we do, without our having to put them into words. What we wish to happen is either right or wrong in the eyes of God. If it is right, God will bring it about even if we do not pray. If it is wrong, God will not bring it about even if we do. So why pray? The classic Jewish answer is simple but profound. Without a vessel to contain a blessing, there can be no blessing. If we have no receptacle to catch the rain may fall, but we will have none to drink. If we have no radio receiver, the sound waves will flow, but we will be unable to convert them into sound. God's blessings flow continuously, but unless we make ourselves into a vessel for them, they will flow elsewhere. Prayer is the act of turning ourselves into a vehicle for the divine. Speaking from personal experience and from many encounters with people for whom prayer was a lifeline, I know that our prayers are answered. Not always in the way we expected, not always as quickly as we hoped, but prayer is never in vain. Sometimes the answer is no, if granting a request would do us or others harm. God will not grant it, but no is also an answer. When God decides that something I have prayed for should not come to pass, then I pray for the wisdom to understand why. That too is part of spiritual growth, to accept graciously what we cannot or should not change. Nor is prayer a substitute for human effort. On the contrary, prayer is one of the most powerful sources of energy for human effort. God gives us the strength to achieve what we need to achieve and to do what we are placed on earth to do. Prayer changes the world because it changes us. At its height, it is a profoundly transformative experience. If we have truly prayed, we come in the course of time to know that the world was made and we were made for a purpose. That God, through immeasurably vast, is also intensely close, and that though my father and mother may reject me, God will gather me in. That God is with us in our efforts, and that we do not labor in vain. We know, too, we are a part of the community of faith, and with us are 4,000 years of history and the prayers and hopes of those who came before us. However far we feel from God, He is there behind us, and all we have to do is turn to face Him. Faith is born and lives in prayer, and faith is the antidote to fear. The Lord is the strength of my life, of whom shall I be afraid? Wasn't that the psalm that the Lord just gave us today, Psalm 27? It makes a difference to be brushed by the wings of eternity. Regular thrice daily prayer works on us in ways not immediately apparent. In Jewish, the way we do things in Hebraic is we pray three times a day. There's certain hours of prayer, 3, 9, 3, 6, 9. Every third hour is a time of prayer. As the sea smooths a stone, as a repeated hammer blows of the sculpture, shape the marble, so prayer, cyclical, tracking the rhythms of time itself, gradually wears away the jagged edge of our character, turning it into a work of a devotional art. We begin to see the beauty of the created world. We locate ourselves as part of the story of our people. Slowly we come to think less of the I and more of the we. Less of what we lack than what we have. Less of what we need from the world and more of what the world needs from us. Prayer is less about getting what we want than about learning what to want. Our priorities change. We become less angular. We learn the deep happiness that comes from learning to give praise and thanks. The world we build tomorrow is born in the prayers we say today. When at the end of his vision, Jacob opened his eyes, he said with a sense of awe, "Surely God is in this place, and I did not know it." That is what prayer does. It opens our eyes to the wonder of the world. It opens our ears to the still small voice of God. It opens our hearts to those who need our help. God exists where we pray. As Rabbi Menachem Mendel of Kotex said, God lives where we let him in. And in the dialogue between the human soul and the soul of the universe, a momentous yet gentle strength is born. Amen. Hallelujah. And one of the things that as I was studying this, preparing this, you know, the Father spoke to my heart, and he said to me, he goes, how bad do you want a thriving Messianic congregation? He says, how bad do you want it? Okay. He says, how bad do we want to take this message of our Hebrew roots of Yeshua and Torah to the Chicago area? Did we think it would be easy? And no, it's not easy because, you know, we have, you know, again, the enemy does,
6 years.
Right, the enemy, you know, is coming against us because of this truth. People in the church don't understand, so they come against us, you know, think we're being legalistic when we're just teaching what the Word says. But no, it's not, anything God calls you to do is not going to be easy. Okay, it takes work, it takes perseverance, it takes prayer. If we look at some importunity in prayer, importunity in prayer means not giving up. An example is Abraham. Go to Genesis 18:32. And again, this is Abraham pleading with God and for Sodom and Gomorrah, and he's praying. Let's go back to verse 22. Now the two men turned from there and went into Sodom, but Abraham stood before the Lord. And Abraham came close and said, "Will you destroy the righteous, those upright and right standing with God, together with the wicked?" Supposedly there are in the city 50 righteous. Will you destroy the place and not spare it for the sake of 50 righteous in it? Far be it from you to do such a thing, to slay the righteous with the wicked, so that the righteous fare as do the wicked. Far be it from you, shall not the judge of all the earth execute judgment and do righteously? And the Lord said, if I find in the city of Sodom 50 righteous upright and in right standing with God, I will spare the whole place for your sake. Abraham answered, behold now, I am but dust and ashes, and having taken upon myself to speak to Adonai. So here we see persistence in prayer. Okay, Abraham didn't stop at 50. You know, he approached God again. He says, if 5 of the 50 righteous should be lacking, will you destroy the whole city for lack of 5? He said, if I find 45, I will not destroy it. Now, you know, God knew all along that there were not any righteous left in Sodom. But he was allowing Abraham, because he called Abraham his friend, to plead and make his case with him, you know, for Sodom. And Abraham spoke to him yet again and said, supposedly only 40 shall be found there. And he said, I will not do it for 40's sake. Then Abraham said to him, oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak again. Suppose only 30 shall be found there. And he answered, I will not do it if I find 30. So again, here you find an example of intercession, you know, and Abraham continually asking God for mercy for the sake of the righteous. And Abraham, behold, now I have taken upon myself to speak to the Lord. Suppose 20 shall be found there. And Adonai replied, I will not destroy for 20's sake. And he said, oh, not let the Lord be angry, and I will speak again only this once. Suppose 10 righteous people shall be found there. And Adonai said, I will not destroy it for 10's sake. And Adonai went his way when he had finished speaking with Abraham, and Abraham returned to his place. So here, according to Jewish tradition, in order to have a group of prayer, you have to have at least 10 men. Okay, it's called a minyan. And the reason why is because that's where Abraham stopped. And they said, if you have a presence of 10 righteous men in a minyan, that causes God mercy and favor to be in that place. Of course, we find, you know, Yeshua said, you know, of course, again, that's Jewish tradition. Yeshua said, where two or more are gathered in my name, I am there in their midst. Okay? But here, that's why they have, because for the sake of 10 righteous, God would have spared the city because of the righteous. We got to realize that our righteousness, our standing in righteousness, has very serious consequences to where we live, to our homes, to our cities. That just the presence of the righteous can spare maybe greater judgment upon a city. Okay? And just because somebody's sitting in a church pew does not mean that they were walking righteously, because God has his own standard of righteousness. And his standard of righteousness is being obedient to his word. Okay? But again, we see the example of the importunity of prayer. Go to Genesis 32:36. And we see Jacob wrestling with this stranger, this angel. I'm sorry, it's not 36. I think it's 26. It's a typo. And again, Jacob was wrestling all night with this being. Okay, let's begin with verse 5. When the man saw that he did not prevail against Yaakov, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and Yaakov's thigh was placed out of joint as he wrestled with him. Then he said, let me go, for day is breaking. But Yaakov said, I will not let you go unless you declare a blessing upon me. And the man asked him, what is your name? And in shock and realization, whispering, he said, Yaakov. And he said, your name shall no longer be Yaakov, but Israel, contender with God. For you have contended and have power with God and with men and have prevailed. So again, there's another example of importunity in prayer and not giving up on something. Okay? And then you have the example of Moses in Deuteronomy chapter 9, verse 18. Moses many times pleading on behalf of Israel when Israel was not being obedient. Let's begin with verse 15. Again, this was Deuteronomy chapter 9. And Moshe was up in the mountain receiving the Torah from God. And while he was up there, Israel was, I believe this is the golden calf incident that happened here. Yeah. Okay. So let's go, let's begin with verse 12. And Adonai said to me, "Arise, go down from here quickly, for your people whom you brought out of Egypt have corrupted themselves. They have quickly turned aside from the way which I commanded them. They have made for themselves a molten image. Furthermore, Adonai said to me, I have seen this people, and behold, they are stubborn and hard. Let me alone, that I may destroy them and blot out their name from under the heavens. And I will make of you a nation mightier and greater than they." So I turned and came down from the mountain, and the mountain was burning with fire, and the two tablets of the covenant were in my hands. And when I looked, behold, you have sinned against Adonai, your Elohim. You have made for yourselves a molten calf. You have turned aside quickly from the way which Adonai had commanded you. I took the two tablets and cast them out of my hands and broke them before your eyes. Then I fell down before the Lord as before for 40 days and 40 nights. I neither ate nor drank water, because of all the sin that you had committed in doing wickedly in the sight of Adonai to provoke him to anger. For I was afraid of the anger and hot displeasure with Adonai held against you, enough to destroy you. But the Lord listened to me that time also. So here Moshe spent 40 days and 40 nights in intercession for Israel, because God was ready to just get rid of this people and just continue on with Moshe. But Moshe didn't give up. He continued to intercede and pray for them, and God withheld his punishment from them. So again, you know, our prayers are important, and Yeshua, you know, God is inviting us and asking, wants us to ask him. Okay? He wants us to ask him, and he wants us to seek him. Again, you know, how bad do we want, you know, a thriving messianic congregation? It's going to take, you know, praying and wrestling and prayer. And, you know, again, we've been through a lot in these 6 years, and I just believe that, you know, that God has shown us that we're entering into a breakthrough, a new season, and I believe there's going to be more and more people, you know, coming in to, you know, receive, again, good, sound, balanced teaching, because we're very, you know, diligent about being balanced here.
It's also seen that we're here. There's been times when we even thought about giving up what we did.
Right. Go to Psalm 145. This isn't on your sheet, but this is go to Psalm 145, 18 and 19. Verses 18 and 19. Adonai is near to all who call upon him, and to all who call upon him sincerely and in truth. He will fulfill the desires of those who reverently and worshipfully fear him. He also will hear their cry and will save them. Go to Isaiah 55, 6 and 7.
What was that? 145, 19 to what?
145, 18 to 19.
18 to 19?
Verses.
18 to 19.
Well, I'm taping this, so I can't have a lot of gaps in it. Isaiah 55, verses 6 and 7. Seek, inquire for, and require the Lord while he may be found, claiming him by necessity and by right. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. and let him return to the Lord. And again, this is Hebrews talking about teshuva, repenting, turning, coming back to God. And he will have love and pity and mercy for him. And to our God, or Elohim, for he will multiply to him his abundant pardon. And then go to Jeremiah chapter 29. Verses 11 to 14. For I know the thoughts and plans that I have for you, says Adonai, thoughts and plans for welfare and peace and not for evil, to give you hope in your final outcome. Then you will call upon me and you will come and pray to me, and I will hear and heed you. Then you will seek me, inquire for, and require me when you search for me with all your heart. And again, this is exactly what Yeshua was saying in Matthew chapter 7, that we're to ask and seek God with all our heart. Now go to Jeremiah 33, verse 3. Call to me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things, fenced in and hidden, which you do not know, do not distinguish and recognize or have knowledge of understanding. So here, you know, God says that when we call upon him, he'll answer us and show us great and mighty things. Again, we have the testimony of Bill when he was saying he was, praying about, he wanted to learn Hebrew and, how God led him to a woman who knew about us. And I mean, come on, that's not coincidence. That's a result of praying and seeking after God and God revealing, showing you things. Okay, let's go to Matthew 18, 19 and 20. These are in your notes, so these scriptures are. Right now we're going to be looking at these scriptures that talk about asking. And, and the different things that God is, that we can ask him for. And just list of these, just some things that when I was thinking of that. We should ask him for wisdom. We should ask him for knowledge. We should ask him for revelation. We should ask him for healing when we need healing. Deliverance when we need deliverance. For protection. Asking him for the lost. Asking him for favor. Matthew 18, 18 and 19. Again, prayer is very much rooted in Jewish life and Hebraic thought. They have what they call, again, what I read from is it's called a prayer siddur. What we prayed for this morning was from a prayer siddur. That prayer is a very important part of Jewish life. And that, the Bible is really a book, if you look at it, it's a book about prayer. And that all the instances that, men of God prayed and God answered and delivered. Matthew 18, 18 and 19. Truly I tell you, whatever you forbid and declare to be improper and unlawful on earth must be what is already forbidden in heaven. And whatever you permit and declare proper and lawful on earth must be what is already permitted in heaven. Now again, in Hebraic mindset, okay, I know in the church they're talking about, that's about binding and loosing Satan. No, it's not. It's about halakha. It's about determining the proper way to walk in obedience to God's word, what's proper and what's improper. And again, it's according to the word of God. When Yeshua said he gave the disciples authority to make halakha, determining, again, halakha is the way we walk as believers. Okay, and that is spelled out in the word of God. Again, I tell you, if two of you on earth agree about anything, whatever they ask, it will come to pass and be done for them of my Father in heaven. For wherever two or three are gathered, drawn together as my followers, in my name, there I am in the midst of him. Again, we see Yeshua said that that wherever two or more are gathered there together in His name, He is there in our midst. So He makes up that majority. And again, whatever we ask has to be in line with the Word. We can't ask something that's contrary to the Word of God. We can't ask something that's unlawful or illegal. You know, again, Yeshua's talking to Torah observant, you know, godly Jews when He's, you know, giving these teachings, so they know that what they ask had to be in line with Torah, had to be in line with God's teachings and instructions. Go to Matthew chapter 21, verses 18 to 22. In the early dawn the next morning, as he was coming back to the city, he was hungry. And as he saw one single leafy fig tree above the roadside, he went to it, but he found nothing but leaves on it. Seeing that in the fig tree the fruit appears at the same time as the leaves. And he said to it, "Never again shall fruit grow on you." And the fig tree withered up at once. When the Talmudim saw it, they marveled greatly and asked, "How is it that the fig tree is withered away all at once?" And Yeshua answered them, "Truly I say to you, if you have faith," and again, Hebraic mindset, faith means trust, okay? "And do not doubt, you will not only do what has been done to this fig tree, but even if you say to this mountain, 'Be taken up and cast into the sea,' it will be done. And whatever you ask for in prayer, having faith or trust and really believing, you will receive." Again, in context with what God's will is, okay, His word. Go to Mark 11, 23 and 24. "Truly I tell you, whoever says to this mountain, 'Be lifted up and thrown into the sea,' and does not doubt at all in his heart, but believes that what he says will take place, it will be done for him. For this reason I am telling you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe, trust, and be confident that it is granted you, and you will get it. And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him and let it drop, leave it and let it go, in order that your Father who is in heaven may also forgive you your own failings and shortcomings and let them drop. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your failings and shortcomings." So again, we see that when we pray, we have to make sure we don't have an attitude of unforgiveness, okay, because that'll block our prayers. And again, you know, it's not a name it and claim it type of prayer. You know, it's like, well, I name it and I, you know, it's mine. Again, it's what's in line with His will, and it's going to bring Him glory. God does not answer selfish prayers, because God blesses His people because of obedience.
He doesn't give anything.
Right. Go to Luke. Actually, Luke 11, 9 to 10 is similar to Matthew. "And so I say to you, ask and keep on asking, and seek and it will be given to you. Seek and keep on seeking, and you shall find. Knock and keep on knocking, and the door will open." So it's a continual asking and seeking and knocking, okay, when in relationship to prayer. A lot of times we give up too soon because we think, you know, like one thing that, you know, Pat Boone had said years ago, and it was, you know, he says, you know, God's not a microwave God. We put our request and zap, you know, 30 seconds, it's done. You know, there's times where how long are you willing to stand? You know, there's times where I've had to stand, you know, different people, I've had to stand 10 years. You know, we've been standing for what God's calling us to do in this congregation for 6 years now. You know, these conferences that we're doing, they're strictly, we did them by faith. We had absolutely no money, but God said to do it. And every year God has provided the money that we needed, which is anywhere from $15,000 to $20,000, you know, because God put it on people's hearts to help. But again, faith is an action. In Hebraic mindset, it's like you have faith by putting it into action. It's not just saying, "I have faith, I have faith." You know, you have faith when God says, "Okay, now do this." That's faith in action. Okay, go to John chapter 14. verses 13 to 15. Again, Yeshua speaking. And I will do, I myself will grant whatever you ask in my name as representing all that I am, so that the Father may be glorified and extolled in and through the Son. Again, our prayers, requests, should be prayers that are going to bring Him glory and bring glory to Yeshua. Yes, I will grant whatever you shall ask in my name as presenting all that I am. If you really love me, you will keep, obey my commands, or Torah. Okay? Go to John 15. I'm going to read 16 and 17. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and have appointed you. I have planted you that you might go and bear fruit and keep on bearing, and that your fruit may be lasting, that it will remain and abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, He will give it to you. This is what I command you, that you love one another. You know, isn't it interesting? It's, you know, I find it interesting that these last two verses, you know, he said, whatever you ask, and then as a reminder, if you love me, you're going to obey my commandments. And again, here he says, and now I'm commanding you that you love one another. Okay? There's always, you know, conditions with blessings. If you read Deuteronomy, it says, if you obey my commands, if you are obedient, you will be blessed. If you're not, you will be cursed. Okay? It's obedience that brings his blessings. Go to John 16, verses 23 to 28. And when that time comes, you will ask nothing of me. I assure you, most solemnly I tell you, that my Father will grant you whatever you ask in my name. So Yeshua is showing us how we are to approach the throne. We approach the Father, we pray to the Father in the name of Yeshua, okay, in His authority. Up to this time you have not asked a single thing in my name. Why? Because He was there with them. All they had to do was ask Him. But now ask and keep on asking, and you will receive, so that your joy, gladness, and delight may be full and complete. Go to James, we already read James 1, 5 to 8. Go to 1 John 3, 22. And we receive from Him whatever we ask, because we watchfully obey His orders. Again, we receive because we obey His orders. Observe His suggestions and injunctions. Follow His plan for us. And again, observing His Torah, His teachings and instructions. And habitually practice what is pleasing to Him. Hallelujah. And this is His order, His command, that we should believe in, put our faith in the name of His Son, Yeshua HaMashiach, and that we should love one another just as He has commanded us. All who keep His commandments, hallelujah, abide in Him and He in them. And by this we know and understand, we have the proof that He really lives and makes His home in us by the Ruach HaKodesh, or Holy Spirit, whom He has given us. And go to 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. And this is the confidence, the assurance, the privilege of boldness which we have in Him, that if we ask anything, make request according to His will, in agreement with His own plan, He listens and hears us. And if, since we positively know that He listens to us in whatever we ask, we also know with settled and absolute knowledge that He has granted us our present possessions and requests made of Him. So again, we see that we have this confidence. Why are we confident? Because we know we're praying in His will. Well, the only way to know what His will is to know what this word says. Okay, because we are continually to be praying according to what His will is. And as we read from this Jewish rabbi, you know, the more we pray, it becomes less of an I, and more of a we. And in Jewish prayer, it's always in the plural. It's always we, us. It's never I and me. Go to Ephesians 6:18. And remember, this is a Jewish book. This is the Hebraic book, okay? The Brit Hadashah, the New Testament, okay? It might have been penned in Greek, but it was written with a Hebrew mindset, okay? To Jewish people who understood Torah and understood the Hebrew way of living, okay? It was not written according to the Greek way of living, okay? These are very much Hebrew Jewish people who walked according to Torah, kept the feast, kept the Sabbath. Amplified gets a little wordy.
Yeah.
I like using that in my prayer time, but when you're reading, it just kind of gets to be a little much. Okay, Ephesians 6:18. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. And then go to 1 Thessalonians 5:17. I always have a trouble with that. Thessalonians. Say that five times real fast. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Short one. Pray without ceasing. Again, in Hebraic mindset, there was like, you know, every third hour there was a time of prayer where they would, you know, pray the Siddur and pray the word. You say, well, you know, I'm working. It's hard for me to do that. But, you know, you could take a little break when you're driving. You could be praying. Wherever you have the opportunity to pray, you can pray. Okay? And go to James 5:13. I just have one more scripture, but so I'm not going to go through. I'm going to do this in two parts because of all the scriptures. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praises. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over them. Him anointing with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer offered in faith will restore the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up, and if he has committed sins, they will be forgiven him. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. Amen and amen. And in 1 Kings 3:5, we're just going to end with this. For this part of it. In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream at night, and God said, "Ask what you wish me to give you." Then Solomon said, "Thou hast shown great loving kindness to thy servant David, my father, according as he walked before thee in truth and in righteousness and in uprightness of heart toward thee. And thou hast reserved for him the great loving kindness that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne as it is to this day." Very prophetically, too, I just see, you know, that Yeshua, who's Yeshua? His son, who's sitting upon his throne. "And now, O Adonai, my Elohim, thou hast made thy servant king in place of my father David. Yet I am but a little child. I do not know how to go out or come in. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people who cannot be numbered and counted for multitude. So give thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, to discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this great people of thine?" And it was pleasing in the sight of the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. And God said to him, "Because you have asked this thing and have not asked for yourself long life, nor have asked riches for yourself, nor have you asked for the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself discernment to understand justice. Behold, I have done according to your words. Behold, I have given you a wise and discerning heart, so there has been no one like you before you, nor shall be one rise after you. And I have also given you what you have not asked, both riches and honor, so that all will be, so that there will not be any among the kings like you in all your days. And if you walk in my ways, keeping my statutes and commandments as your father David walked, then I will prolong your days. Hallelujah. So we see here again, you know, Solomon, you know, again as we're praying, when Yeshua says to ask, again it should always be, you know, Solomon's prayer was one, a prayer of total unselfishness. You know, prayer for wisdom to guide his people. And God, you know, not only answered that prayer, but blessed him for what he didn't ask for. I just want to read this quote from Tim Hegg. The emphasis is upon our need to ask him. In the enterprise of prayer, God desires that in our asking we come to recognize time and again that he is the one who provides not only our needs, but also our joy and our happiness. The promise of God's willingness to answer our prayers must not be construed as a guarantee that all for which we ask will necessarily be given. We therefore constantly are to incorporate into our prayers the underlying condition of God's will, if it is pleasing to you, ought to preface all of our requests. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we just praise you and thank you. We thank you for your word, Father. We thank you for your Torah. We come before your throne, Avinu Malkeinu, our Father, our King, in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, our Messiah. We thank you, Father, that you continue to give us a spirit of wisdom and knowledge and revelation in your word. Father, we ask that you continue to use this congregation in a mighty way, Father. We thank you. We ask you for a great anointing upon the conference, Father. We ask you to draw people there, Father, that may not know about the conference, Father. Just lead them and guide them so that they can come and take advantage, Father, of the word that is being taught. May your glory fill that place and be a witness to the Jewish people that are going to be there as well. Father, we just praise you and thank you for all you're doing. We lift up to you, Father, Rabbi Mordecai's wife, Sharon, who is battling breast cancer. Father, we ask you in the name of Yeshua, Father, that every cancer cell has to disappear from that body in Yeshua's name. Father, we thank you that as she is going for that surgery, that the doctors are going to be in awe, Father, saying, well, we thought there was cancer there, but we don't see it anymore. It's gone, and we proclaim that in the name of Yeshua. Father, these are your servants, Father. They have been faithful to proclaim your Torah and Yeshua, your Messiah. Father, they have been faithful to proclaim, Father, the unity of all of Israel. They have been faithful shepherds over your flock, Father. I ask you to give them strength and your shalom and your peace, Father. And I thank you. You ask you, Father. We are standing here, Father, agreeing in the name of Yeshua for a miracle and Sharon Silver's body, Father. And I thank you for this couple, Father, for the blessings they've been to us. And the encouragement, Father. And I thank you, Father, that you are watching over your word to perform it in their life, Father, in the name of Yeshua. And Father, we bring Bill and his wife, Father, before you. Father, you've heard his story as we were sitting here. And Father, we thank you that you are making a way where there is no way. You are causing favor, Father. You are causing her papers to go to the top of the pile, Father, so that she can be with her husband and they can do what you have called them to do together as one. Father, I just thank you that you brought them together and you have begun a good work in them. We'll continue it until the day of Messiah. And I thank you, Father God, in Yeshua's name, that you keep them both safe, that they continue to walk uncompromising in your word, Father. And Father, that you bring them together, that she gets here from India, in Yeshua's name. Praise you, Father. Father, we continue to hold up Rhonda and her mother in the name of Yeshua. We thank you, Father, for your healing. Over her mother's body, that you give them strength and faith, Father, in Yeshua's name. And Father, we continue to pray, Father, for us as leaders, that we would walk in your wisdom, Father, uncompromising in your word, Father, continuing to be faithful no matter what, Father. We thank you for our families, Father. We thank you that you are working the lives of our children and our children's children.